Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of the Ten Commandments. And Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit and your grace to understand and to obey the Fifth Commandment. God, I pray a special anointing of your grace on my words, that truly they would be acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my Rock, and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, we're looking at the Fifth Commandment. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you will live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord is giving you. The Fifth Commandment marks a transition in the commandments from our relationship with God to our relationship with our family. Now, I'm well aware that for some, the idea of honoring your mom and dad is a joy. Bring your parent to mind if this is you. You love the way they loved you. Your relationship is tight and close. And you just praise God for having parents, a mom and dad, who loved you and modeled for you what it meant to reflect God's character. If that's you today, just take a moment right now in your heart and just thank God for the parents that you had. I'm also aware that for others, this fifth commandment brings a reality of deep woundedness or of great loss. Perhaps you lost a parent at a very young age, or perhaps the reality of the broken relationship that you still have with a parent, even perhaps deceased, that wound has never gone away. How do you honor dishonorable parents? What do you do with kids who won't honor you? And I just want to say, I want to tread lightly here, knowing that within a crowd like this, we're dealing with the plethora of responses to this commandment. This commandment also brings up the issue of, what does honoring look like? Is it the same at age 4 or 14 or 24 or 44? I'm going to walk us through, help us understand the commandment, and then try and bring some helpful application both to those who are parents and to all of us who have had parents, to those who've had a phenomenal relationship with their mom and dad, and to those who've, on any level, still dealing with issues of woundedness, brokenness, bitterness, or regret. So first, you might want to get out a pen. I'm going to give you 74 applications. One of them might actually apply. What does it mean to honor mom and dad? What does it mean? If you notice, the father actually is listed first, but both receive equal honor. Honor mom and dad. A radical concept in the ancient Near East, where the father ruled with an iron hand. He deserved all honor. Moms were pushed out of the way. They were literally almost like slaves. You honor dad. Of course, a radical concept in some cultures, even today, where dad's absent and mom is doing the majority of the raising. How can you honor dad when he's not around and you don't know him? And so all of a sudden the scale tilts to mom, honoring mom. Easy to default, isn't it, to unequal honor of a different parent? None of you have done it, have you? Do you find it easier to honor one parent because of the way they've treated you than another? Parents, do you set your kids up to honor one of you more than the other? How you speak about your spouse, does that make it harder for your kids to honor you equally? Do you play favorites so they'll play favorites? The commandment is clear. Equal honor is the basis of the family structure, not one over the other. Why was it given? Two reasons. First, to establish a family structure rooted in God's character. What am I talking about? Genesis tells us, this is key, that we were created to reflect God's image to the world. This is before the fall. And so the commandment was given, in a perfect world, a mom and dad would always reflect God's character and nature to the kids. Kids, you should be able to listen to me if you're a kid here. You should be able to look at your mom and dad and say, that's exactly what God's like. Can you say that? Neither can my kids. This was it. In the family, you grow up, you're first. What's God like? What's the world like? Oh, I can look at mom and dad. They always love. They're always patient, kind, always just, always self-giving. The idea was, it established God's principle of, I'm going to communicate first and foremost who I am through mom and dad, both mom and dad. If parents, ready for this? If parents are loving God first, honoring him, not enslaved to idols, keeping a Sabbath rest, then there will be an order in the family that will bring life to the kids. Families become a place of order and rest and joy and self-discipline. Families were the first place we were to learn about the character and nature of God. Let me ask you, parents, and I include myself, when your kids look at you, do they see the character and nature of the God of the Bible? The purpose of the family was for mom and dad to model a God-centered life. The first place kids learn about God is by looking at us. The first place you learned about God was looking at your parents. We learn to honor mom and dad as we learn to honor God in them. This is great news for us here at Resurrection, right? Well, we'll get back to it. Because none of us live up to that standard, do we? Well, the second reason it was given, kids, you need to listen to this. It says that honor your mom and dad so you can enjoy a long life. This is called a life investment strategy. Kids, ready for this? If you want your parents to trust you at 17 and 18 with the car and with a curfew, and when you're older and you're like 60 and 70 and 80 and you want your kids to take care of you, learn how to honor them now. Be good stewards of what they say now. Build a literally a stock portfolio of trust so that later you can thrive. I've said to Keating over and over again, Keating, I got you for 6 more years. I'm going to discipline you and I'm going to grow you because in 6 years you are on your own. You can do whatever you want. But for 6 more years, I want you to invest in our relationship. And I'm going to invest in yours so that you can thrive. I can trust you. And we'll have a foundation of lifelong blessing. The promise is that God will provide. And the chief agent is through the family. Kids, if you honor your parents, a cycle begins to develop. When you get older, they'll honor you. Just as hostile families create hostile kids, broken families create broken kids. Healthy, God-honoring kids create healthy, God-honoring kids. Kids, you're investing in your future right now by honoring your parents. Which leads us to the next question. This is kind of cool. How do we actually honor mom and dad? How do we keep the commandment? This is cool. I found Pastor Mark Driscoll's insights helpful. I added to them, actually, but he gave me a preliminary outline. Ready for this? 0 to 12. Children, if you're 0 to 12 in this room right now, listen up. Most important part of the sermon. Honoring your parents primarily means obey them. This is God speaking. Obey your parents. Doing what is asked to learn self-control and respect for authority. Why? Because if you had your own way, you would eat Baskin-Robbins ice cream morning, noon, and night. You'd have so much sugar that you'd have diabetes by the age of 18 and you'd be dead by 22. So behind the parents saying, sorry, you can't have sugar all the time, is we want you to live a long life and not get diabetes, so we're going to make you eat other foods. Behind every ask of obedience that parents make is a principle of value, kids. They want you to thrive. They want you to get enough sleep. For you, honoring them means obedience. Obedience. 12 to 22. I'm going to put the kind of teenage, pre-adult world, 12 to 22. If you're in that age, ready for this? You're transitioning, still obedience, but to practicing respect. What does practice respect mean? Acknowledge their authority and the right to speak into your life. What teenager wants mom and dad to have any word in their life? Get away, mama, dad. I'm self-sufficient. No, you're not. And honoring means I will invite you, because there's trust built, to continue to have a voice in my life. There's still an obedience, but it's moving to practicing respect, to giving them the honor and position that they deserve as mom and dad. 22 to 40, young adults. I love that. Young adults, 22 to 40. Isn't that cool? Ready for you? Honoring this? This is, it's cool. Kids, if you invest well, teenagers, you invest well. Ready? Enjoy and incorporate. Honoring means to enjoy them. Not be their best friend, by the way. We're not talking about best friends. We're just saying enjoy them. All of a sudden, you can step back. You're old enough now. You're on your own. Now you can just enjoy them and incorporate them and incorporate them into your lives. That's going to take some thinking. Leaving, cleaving, becoming one flesh. When you get married, you can say to them, I'm sorry, we're not coming to Christmas this year. But then you have to get creative, but we'll make up for it because we want you to be a part of our lives. Enjoying and incorporating is how we honor parents, 22 to 40. 40 to 60, and I hope there's somebody in here 60 years old whose parents are still living. I know the Valentines, I think, are close, right, Becky? I know you're only 42, but the point is, with Grandma B being 102, ready for this? Honoring means celebrate, reconcile, and care for. I had to think about this. I'm 45. How am I celebrating my parents? How do I celebrate them? How do I just give them glory and joy? How do I reconcile past hurts? How am I seeking to bridge and build reconciliation for mistakes I made or maybe mistakes they made? And how am I caring for them? And it's not just financial. In a world where we want to kind of alleviate and let the Social Security take care of our aging parents, this is about their relational and spiritual needs. Let me ask you, which stage are you in? How you doing? Are you honoring your parents? Just take a little inventory. Kids, do you find it hard to obey? Preteens, are you still allowing your parents to speak into your life? They're not as dumb as you think they are. 22 to 40s, are you enjoying them? Are you incorporating them? And those of you with older parents, how are you celebrating them well? How are you helping them enter eternity with no regrets? This is what it means to honor the commandment. But have you noticed now in the sermon, there are some challenges to this commandment? Kids, when's the last time you didn't feel like obeying your parents? Like 5 minutes before the service? Yeah, it happens all the time. How do you celebrate parents that really did you wrong? How do you enjoy them when they've locked you out of their lives or their dysfunctional way that kills your spirit? Simple thing is, we don't like to obey and honor those who get in the way of our self-interest, do we, kids? We don't believe mom and dad know what's best, and we have a battle of the wills. You see, ready for this? In the family, it's the first place we see the effect of sin. People say, I don't believe in the effect. I don't believe in sin. I'm a good person. Oh, yeah, take a look at the family. Have a baby. 9 months into it, man, they're strong-willed. They're fighting you. They don't want to obey. And the breakdown just continues. Perfectly on time. That was perfect. Thank you. You see, sin distorts the image of God. Even the best parents can't live up to the standard of reflecting God to their kids. You can't do it. Children, there are no perfect parents. Kids, sin causes you to rebel and question and disobey and go your own way. And you know what the consequences of sin always is in the Bible? Death. Breakdown of the order. Relational breakdowns. You see it. relational parents, teenagers, anger leads to financial and emotional and physical breakdown over time when we don't honor the fifth commandment, when we allow sin to destroy the relationships. Just to prove this point, listen to this. Deuteronomy 21, 18 says this. Kids, listen up. This is key. If any of you has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all of the men of his town are to stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. Does this sound harsh to you? At what point would a parent get so frustrated that they'd want to kill their kid? Every single one of you has wanted to do this to your child in your heart. We'll talk about do not murder next week and what that means. How could God say this? Yeah, 3 weeks ago, you were ready to do this to your kid. I mean, we laugh about it. Doesn't it sound harsh? No. You know what God's saying? Look, let's just stop the process and call it quits. This is where they're going. It's already a relational breakdown. They're already dead. You might as well just end it now. You've less and less resembled the image of God. The breakdown, it's all about it leading to death. Some of you kids, your rebellion is killing you on the inside. You're so frustrated and fighting mom and dad that there's no joy in your life. You've cast off restraint. And just so you know, the effects will last a lifetime if you continue in disobedience. In the end, you're killing yourself first. There's a high cost to sin in families, and the relationship between parents and children, is there not? And the ideal that we would reflect God's grace to our kids, no matter how good you are, is broken in every single family. So what's the solution? Is it to try harder? Come on, kids, just go out and obey. Yeah, that'll last till about noon. Come on, parents, be more honorable parents. If you were more honorable and didn't fight and throw your spouse under the bus, they'd obey you more. Just be a better parent. Come on, suck it up. Don't let that hurt that your aging parent caused you 70 years ago hurt you. Just move beyond it. No. Those are not the answers to how we begin to follow the fifth commandment. Ready for this? The only remedy for the fifth commandment and for the sin that lives in every heart is the gospel. Do you follow it? Jesus was the perfect son. He always honored and respected his dad, did everything his dad asked. And what happened to him? Right? It comes right from Deuteronomy 21. What did they call him? A glutton and a drunkard. That's what they called Jesus. And you know what they did? They stoned him, so to speak. They put him to death. Jesus was the perfect son who died the dishonorable death so that imperfect sons and daughters could receive his honorable life. His death restores us to the perfect dad. So we don't have to look and place undue burdens on our parents. We can look right at God the Father in the face of Jesus Christ. We can have access to him, and he can begin to teach and heal and mend and grow. My friend Rick Ike grew up in a family where his dad did heinous crimes. Parents were divorced, and his dad ended up dying in a young age. His dad had perpetuated sins of the fathers over generations. His mom got remarried to a man who also was very harsh. Rick met Christ. Christ changed his life, and he got married, and he said, "We are going to break the generational sin." It's going to stop with us. It hasn't been easy. He learned patterns of behavior towards children that now that he's got four, he's had to go get help for. He said, I don't want to perpetuate what happened to me. But as I've watched Rick embrace the gospel, let Jesus change him, I got to tell you, the guy's got a phenomenal family. His kids have been spared the generational sin that his parents committed. His mom since become a believer and has also begun to change and make amends. The gospel has the power to change any life. And I want to close now addressing children, addressing parents, and then finally addressing those who had dishonorable parents or who lost a parent at a young age. So three applications. First, to children. Children, when your parents ask you to do something that you don't want to do, give yourself a time out and ask Jesus to give you the strength to do it or to change your heart. Or if what they ask you to do violates God's law, ask Jesus to give you the words to tell them, Mom, Dad, I think that violates God's law. We'll give you that power and authority to speak into their lives. In other words, kids, you need Jesus to learn to obey. Teenagers, you're going to rebel every time. You need Jesus to give you a submitted heart. It's only for a season. It's not going to last forever. You need Jesus to give you a long-term perspective on your life. Trust me, you're going to be able to live your own life soon. Don't rush it. You're building for eternity. If you rush it now and don't learn how to submit and learn self-control, you will destroy your marriage and your kids. Trust me. Learn now. Ask the Lord to teach you. Ask for more of His Holy Spirit to heal and empower you. Ask God to discipline you and to work in your life and what it means to honor mom and dad. If it's easier for you to honor mom and not dad, ask God to help you honor dad. Or if it's easier to honor dad, ask God to help you honor mom. It comes with a promise. If you do, your life will be blessed. Test God in this. It's for a season. Honor your mother and father. Second, parents, it's never too late to change. It's never too late. You're not allowed to stone your kids. Jesus took it. How do you become parents that are easy for kids to honor? That's the goal. More and more of the time, becoming a parent, that it's easy for your kids to honor, that reflect God's grace. How do you do it? You need to first honor and respect God. You need to put your relationship with Jesus Christ first and ask Him to change you. It may mean you have to repent, to go to a spouse and say, I got to be honest with you, I've been playing the kids off of you. I've been looking for my self-esteem from them at your expense. It may mean you need to seek reconciliation or admit your mistakes. It may mean you need to accept grace and say, Lord, forgive me, and then let Him forgive you and start clean. Maybe for some of you, need to learn how to communicate and fight fair. Communicate well. You need to learn how to model disagreements in your family. Some of you need to stop looking at your kids to fill the need that your spouse can only fill. No surrogate spouses. Don't use your kids for a greater purpose other than stewarding them for God's purposes. Make sure your kids have access to other honorable adults. That's a great one. How are you setting up your kids to spend time with parents who are better than you? I want to let out a secret, but Keating's about to turn 13, and we're going to try and establish and gather some women around her to celebrate and say, look, these are women we want to give you a picture of, who we want you to be like, and we're going to do that for all of our daughters. You know, going to church may not just be about you. You skip a month or two, you've just robbed your kids from hanging out with some amazing men and women who are probably better parents than you. Parents, do you extend grace when your children sin? Do you model repentance? In other words, to sum it up, are you teachable as a parent? Will you let Jesus mold you and more make you a parent that your kids will honor? Finally, and most importantly, I think, the gospel provides for children who've had dishonorable moms and dads. First, if you've had a dishonorable mom or dad, you need to remember the gospel, and this is this. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do not pretend out there that if you had somebody else, it would have been perfect. It's not true. Every parent is bent and broken. Secondly, you need to look to Jesus first to be your heavenly parent. You need to look to him and say, God, would you be the father I never had? God, would you be the mother I never had? I will refuse to place undue expectations on a mom or dad who can't ever meet what I really need. Thirdly, just as when the president walks into his state of address, the whole Senate and House stand because they honor the office. You might start by just saying, I will honor the office of mom and dad, even if I'm not yet ready in word and deed to honor the person. It's a start. God, I want to honor the office and how you've set up and the order of your creation. Fourthly, some of you might need to address, and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, unforgiveness and bitterness. You look, here's the deal. If your parent has really sinned against you, God will either make them pay better than you could, or he'll make Jesus pay. So you now no longer need to play God and try and change them. God can be entrusted with your parent, even if they're deceased, to bring right out of any harm that they did. You need to decide in your heart, God, I'll allow you to be God in their lives, and I'll quit playing God in their lives, even if they don't change. Fifth, and this speaks especially to those who are divorced, you can honor your spouse or honor your parent, a divorced spouse or parent, by guarding your tongue. You can choose to speak honorably in every situation. Even if you don't feel in your heart, I will never dishonor my dishonorable dad in public. I will never dishonor my dishonorable mom. It doesn't mean in counseling or in appropriate situations you don't work through it. But you can start, at the very least, with the words you use to even talk about them in public. If you're divorced, how do you speak about your children's spouse? Are you making it harder, despite whatever sins they've committed, the spouse that is, are you making it harder for them to honor their spouse? God is still calling your child to honor your divorced spouse. Are you making that harder or easier for them to do? Finally, some of you will need to get help. God puts us in families. He gives us counselors and says, look, you can't handle this one on your own. The pain is so deep where your parent died. Look, will you just take some time, either through a trusted counselor or through a pastor or a good Christian friend, and will you work through what will it mean for me to move forward in honoring dishonorable parents? Get the help you need. Don't get stuck. Don't let the loss you experienced over a parent who died or the brokenness you experienced over any sin that's been handed down affect you any longer. The stakes are too high. Kids, the gospel can give you the power to obey and the foresight to invest. Adults, parents, the gospel can make you into the parent you've always wanted and were called to be. And the gospel can heal every wound as Jesus walks with us and reshapes and rebuilds our lives and brings reconciliation to our relationships. That's why the fifth commandment is a gift and an invitation to obey God and our parents, to honor our children and reflect God's grace to them, and embrace the gospel for healing and power along the way. Lord Jesus, speak to us on these matters. Build healthy families. Show kids how to obey of any age, to honor and respect. Show us as parents how to more and more reflect your grace and to lead well. And Lord, do a healing work in all of us who need it. We ask in Jesus' name.